First President-elect Joe Biden has pledged to undo many of President Trump's immigration policies. According to the Migration Policy Institute, Trump has made more than 400 alterations to immigration policy through executive action, policy guidance, and regulatory changes. While Biden can rescind some of those measures with executive orders on day one, others would take some time, maybe even years. That means that for the foreseeable future, asylum seekers will have to keep seeking protections in a third country instead of at the U.S. border. Green cards can still be denied to immigrants who seek food stamps, and visa applications can be denied over social media posts. Plus, a court ruling on DACA puts the policy back in place, but legal questions there aren't going away. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What would you like to see from the Biden administration when it comes to immigration? Do you want to see him undo as many of Trump's changes as possible, or are there certain, maybe most measures that you hope remain in place? Do you think now at last is time for Congress to do something when it comes to immigration? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Elise Cohen is an associate professor of political science at UW Green Bay. Her areas of expertise include refugees and U.S. foreign policy. Elise, welcome back to the show.
Great to be with you, Rob.
Elise, over the last 4 years, we've talked a lot about individual policies from the Trump administration when it came to immigration and refugees and deportation and more. Big picture, how consequential has the Trump presidency been for immigration and related issues?
Yeah, that is a great question. When we look at the big picture, I think some of the more high-profile policies that come to mind are things like the travel ban. So the travel ban was the first major policy change that Trump put into place when he came into office in January of 2017. That went through several legal challenges, as listeners may recall. What we ended up with was the third iteration. So travelers from Iran, Libya, Syria, some from Venezuela and North Korea, Yemen and Somalia, that remains in effect today because it was upheld by the Supreme Court. We also saw the Remain in Mexico, or what's known as the MPP, which was put into place in early 2019. And I think that's another one that would be fresher in people's minds. It's resulted in sort of tent camps of makeshift refugee camps along the southern border as part of the administration's deterrence approach. And there's estimated over 25,000 asylum seekers and migrants that are in those camps awaiting their court hearings on the other side of the U.S.-Mexico border. We also saw some major humanitarian entry restrictions, changing asylum guidelines, very dramatic drops in the annual refugee caps, so that we're down to about 15,000 refugee for the 21 fiscal year admissions cap. And family separations was one, if listeners recall from a couple of years ago, that got a lot of pushback and media attention. So those are just some highlights.
And as we've seen in the Obama administration with DACA and the Trump administration with a lot of the things you just mentioned, some things an administration can kind of flip a switch on. Other things take time and are subject to legal challenges. So all that said, what are the kind of things that if President-elect Biden pursues immigration changes, as he says he wants to, what are the kind of things he could do on day one or month one?
Well, on day one, the travel ban is something that could more easily be undone because it was done through an executive action. It can be undone easily through Biden signing a similar executive action and resuming travel from those countries that are on the list. The Remain in Mexico or the MPP will be a little more difficult because it does involve also the Mexican government, and it's not clear what will become of those, 25,000 or so asylum seekers on the other side of the border, particularly given the pandemic. Some of those asylum changes that Trump has made over the years will probably be the lengthiest and most bureaucratic in terms of undoing them because they're now so deeply embedded in procedural changes within the Department of Justice and the Department of Homeland Security. But certainly some changes can be implemented pretty much from day one. It will just be a lengthier process. Now, with family separations, that's something that it will be interesting to see how the Biden administration approaches the calls for almost reparations to the mental health and trauma damages that were done to children, for example, that were separated from their families. So that's something that we don't really have a clear sense of how the Biden administration will approach those lawsuits from ACLU, for example, you know, demanding kind of a reparations for what the government did under that policy. I think one of the trickiest ones would probably be the border wall, because there are already contracts that have been agreed to by Trump. Some of those projects, when Biden comes in, will be almost like halfway constructed, halfway done in terms of barrier construction projects. And there could be the potential for the contractors to seek damages or settlements if the Biden administration tries to stop some of those border wall construction projects.
Talking to Elise Cohen, political scientist at UW Green Bay. She focuses on immigration, asylum, and related topics. We are talking about what the Biden administration, the incoming Biden administration, can and can't do when it comes to changing Trump administration policies. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Ricardo is with us in Madison. Ricardo, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
What did you want to bring up, Ricardo?
Yeah, I am a DACA recipient, and what I would like to see for the Biden organization to do is to now shift gears into providing DACA recipients the original piece, which is the DREAM Act. They're all capital letters, and they stand for the D stands for the development, the R stands for the relief, the E stands for education, four, and then A stands for alien, and then the M stands for minors. So the Development Relief Education for Alien Minors Act, which basically serves as a bridge from the Supreme Court ruling, Plyer versus Doe, which provides undocumented immigrants, regardless of citizenship, to get a right for education. That is the right of all children.
Ricardo, thanks a lot for the call. I want to bring Elise in on this. A couple parts here, Elise. First of all, Ricardo mentioned a DACA recipient himself. There was a court ruling that has a big impact, at least for now. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Yeah, so we just had this ruling about the reinstatement of DACA. And to give a little bit of context to the listeners on that, we had seen the Supreme Court already rule over this past summer in June of 2020 that the DACA did need to be reinstated and restored to its previous sort of prior to September 2017 status, which is when the Trump administration attempted to halt DACA. And so this ruling is really big for recipients for a few reasons. First of all, ICE had started looking into closed deportation cases and looking for a pathway to potentially deport DACA recipients. And this ruling means that that will now be halted. So those recipients do not need to worry immediately that they will have orders coming for their deportation. Something else that this ruling means sort of immediately is people with a protection can have it extended back to 2 years, which was the initial length of time, instead of just 1 year. So that means recipients like Ricardo would only need to apply every 2 years instead of every single year to have it renewed. The reason that I think Ricardo is bringing up this important point about something broader and more lasting is because DACA is still very temporary. It is not something that confers any legal status to the recipient. So that means DACA recipients will still be living in limbo with very precarious futures, not certain of any path to residency or lawful status beyond that 2-year renewal period. So this is where it becomes challenging, because we would actually need to see congressional legislation passed. The Biden administration will be very limited what they can do just through executive action, but we would need to see comprehensive immigration reform really address some of these issues, like a pathway to citizenship, perhaps, or at least a legal residency that would come with some of these benefits that Ricardo mentioned.
Thanks for the call, Ricardo. We're talking about the incoming Biden administration and immigration issues with Elise Cohen. She's an associate professor of political science at UW Green Bay. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What would you want to change when it comes to immigration law, refugee requirements, asylum, and more under President-elect Biden? What from President Trump would you like to see stay in place? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about immigration issues facing the incoming Biden administration. Elise Cohen is our guest, associate professor of political science at UW-Green Bay, expert in refugees and U.S. foreign policy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on another caller now. We've got Owen with us in Wyawega. Owen, hi.
Hi. Good afternoon, Rob. Yeah, so a couple things here. First thing is we really need to help the undocumented immigrants that are here in Wisconsin milking cows and throughout the nation that live here 365 days a year. They never go home to become citizens of this country because they already are citizens. They have residency here, and they're not allowed to participate in democracy. And that's a failure of our Constitution and a failure of the rights of the people that are here contributing to the gross domestic product of this nation. And the next thing is dairy farmers, especially the ones that are larger and want to continue to expand, they're really going to need some comprehensive immigration reform that's going to help them bring in more workers that are potentially looking for long-term employment on those farms.
Owen, thanks a lot for the call. Elise, thoughts on the status of people working here in Wisconsin in the dairy industry and what this could all mean for them?
Well, one thing that we did see based on the caller's question under Trump's administration was a drop even in the legal categories of immigration. So some of those visa categories that might cover seasonal agricultural workers, it wasn't a huge drop. The latest I saw was around 7% or so in the legal immigration drop under Trump. And that is something that the Biden administration could potentially tackle right away in increasing the number of visas that are given for those kinds of jobs. The other part of what your caller there is mentioning in terms of a pathway to status and protection beyond what they have, again, that's something where I think we would have to see congressional agreement, and we would need to see that gain some kind of bipartisan consensus in order to have that on a more permanent basis.
Thanks for the call, Owen. We'll go to Trish next in Milwaukee. Trish, hello.
Hi.
What do you want to bring up, Trish?
I just wanted to bring up that the United States of America is a country, and we should have borders. And if people are coming into our country illegally, then they need to go back and come in legally, like all of our other ancestors. As for the DACA recipients, I understand they were children. They had no choice. So for those particular people, yes, they need a pathway to citizenship, and they all need to come on board with that. And hopefully the Biden administration can do something with that. But I think our border wall still needs to continue, and I think we need to also support ICE.
Trish, thanks a lot for the call. A lot there to work with, Elise. First of all, the need to for people to enter the country legally, there are fewer paths over the last 4 years, I think, to do that. Can you talk about what it would take to have secure borders but provide avenues for people to enter legally?
Absolutely. And that's another great point where we can see Biden in his campaign rhetoric was still very much talking about border security. And if we look back at his campaign website, which I studied really closely in this last election, we can find that he talked a lot about border security, the importance of having technology and surveillance and screening. So absolutely, Biden is not one that would call for open borders or borderlessness. And I think this other point that the caller raises about undocumented and, you know, legal or illegal status, that's where we might see the asylum seekers have an opening up of what qualifies as asylum, because the Trump administration did make some restrictions there, getting rid of, for example, gang violence and domestic violence as eligibility to qualify for asylum. So those could be some potential ways that we can see people have more legal paths into the country while still maintaining the Biden promise of border security.
Trish, thanks for that call. Time for one more caller, I think. Yoel is with us in Superior. Yoel, hi.
Yes, hi. I just want to say that I agree with Trish. The number one reason Donald Trump won in 2016, I think it was because of the immigration issue. Border security is something that people of all demographic, whether you're black, Hispanic, white, can agree on. We need strong border security. And one other thing that I want to say is H-1B visa. I think the H-1B visa needs to end immediately, because I don't believe that foreign immigrants should come in here and take jobs from everyday Americans, high-paying jobs.
Yoel, thanks a lot for the call. Let's, in our last minute or two, focus on that second point, H-1B visas we haven't talked about yet, Elise.
Yes, and that's for specialty occupation. So some of the high-skilled visas that the Trump administration was restricting in the last year, that's something that the Biden administration could pretty quickly tackle in terms of increasing those. As your caller says, there are concerns about how that will factor into our labor market as it is. And I think this is one of the constraints for the Biden administration, is while we are still having economic troubles related to the pandemic, there will probably be pressure to wait on some of those expansions until we are in sort of a post-vaccine reality with the economy opening up and the labor market having more of those niches that need to be met. So, yes, I think absolutely we're going to see debates among the more liberal aspects and more centrist aspects of the Democratic Party over what to do and how quickly on that.
I've seen arguments, Elise, that the people brought in on H-1B visas often end up being job creators in entrepreneurship or for the industries they work for. Do we have data on that kind of thing?
Absolutely. That's something that's often contested, but there's a lot of data that suggests that they are creating jobs for native-born Americans as well. So those that are in favor of expanding them, as the Biden approach has historically been at least indicated in his rhetoric, would say it's a source of a stimulus for the economy to have that. So, yeah, I'll be watching that carefully to see kind of the debates that are going to unfold, not just in terms of the economics of it, but pushes for sort of the humanitarian aspect, seeing these people not just as economic stimulants, but also as people.
Elise, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again today.
It was great to be with you, Rob.
Elise Cohen is an associate professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. We talked to her today about what the incoming Biden administration may do about DACA, the border wall, and a whole lot of other immigration issues.